My joy to invite you to open your copy of God's perfect, precious word to John chapter 20. We've heard already today the first section of it read by Jared, another section of it read by Nathan, and we will be continuing in verse 19. John 20, verse 19. Peace be with you. Resurrected purpose. I invite you to stand when you find John 20, 19, in honor of the reading of God's perfect word. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, "Hold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them. But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." All right, I'm going to pray once more. Heavenly Father, once more we pray for Carol here. We pray, Lord, for the best of care for her. Thank you, Lord, for her faith in you. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for a church family around her. We thank you for bright and true hope today. For words like "peace be with you," not spoken by anybody less than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray, Lord, asking you to do your work in our hearts, all of our hearts today. Lord, we know that you have timing. We know that you know all things, and we place everything in your hands. Not that we place it, it's in your hands. We recognize it as in your hands. And Lord, Lord, we ask for your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. First words matter. If this is the first time you ever heard me preach, you probably paid attention to the first words I said. Maybe the first time you ever heard me preach, first words, they make an impression. Usually people think about the first words that are going to come out of their mouth. First words matter. But these are not Jesus' first words with his disciples. He's had many words, and in all of the Gospels, his words are recorded for us, but no one records so many of his words as John. It's in John that we see whole chapters of the words of our Lord, and especially in this second part of John, which the entire second half of John is basically a week. You have from the Last Supper where Jesus has washed the disciples' feet, he gets up, he ends up dismissing Judas, and then he just starts pouring out his heart. The end of chapter 13 and all of chapter 14 and all of chapter 15 and all of chapter 16, sentence after sentence, he's just telling them so much as he knows that he's about to be arrested. He knows. Jesus knows what's coming. They don't. And he's just telling them so much that he needs to tell them as he prepares them for the moment. But then, after a great and glorious, the longest prayer that we have recorded of Jesus, which is chapter 17, you find Jesus arrested. He's put on trial. He's mocked. He's beaten. He's executed. The disciples' world has been turned upside down. To say that they were dismayed would be an understatement. Remember what one of them said when he said, "We left everything to follow you." And here the one that they followed has been arrested, publicly put on trial, and executed. But it's not just that. It's not just what is their life going to be about now. They truly have come to love him. No, I know they scattered. I know that they failed in those ways. Peter denied him. But it's also true when Peter says, "Lord, you know that I love you," which is the text we'll look at next week. They've loved him, but he's died. He's gone. Their world has been turned upside down. And then in the morning, the ladies have gone to the tomb. It's empty. They run, they find two of them, at least an empty tomb. And then Mary says that she's seen him. And now the moment of our text today, the first time that the disciples are gathered together and all of a sudden Jesus is among them. And what are his first words? Peace. Peace be with you. He says it, if you counted, in our text for today. How many times do you see it? You can look down quickly, see if you can catch it. How many times does Jesus say, "Peace be with you," in our text? Three. Three times. This is a prominent theme. This is huge. This is important. Peace be with you. Peace. That means, in the Hebrew, it would mean wholeness, completion, everything that's there that needs to be there. Everything being right, peace, shalom. And it's more than just the greeting that you can still hear in the Middle East today. Peace be with you. Shalom. In the Arabic, it's there too. Salam alaikum. Peace be upon you. Peace be with you. Shalom. It's more than just the greeting. It has meaning here. And just before we go further, this is not just for them, those disciples. This is for you. Peace be with you. That's the message this Easter for you. Peace be with you. If I were to try to phrase a prayer request for you today, it could not be better phrased than what we find at the end of the book of Hebrews. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Peace, church family. Peace, brothers and sisters. Peace be with you. Let's consider our text. Let's consider how Jesus said these things. Starting off with, "Peace be with you, let me show you how." It says, verse 19, "On the evening of that day," what day? That Sunday, the day he rose, the first day of the week, Sunday. It's special to be able to say to you that the same Sunday. Of all the holidays we celebrate, this is the one we can actually track on the calendar because it matches with the lunar holiday, the Jewish holiday of Passover. So here on this Sunday, I can say to you the same day of the festival year, what Jesus said, "Peace be with you." On that first day of the week, the doors being locked, and yes, there's something miraculous here about Jesus coming, and where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, it makes sense that they would be afraid. Their master, their leader, their Savior was just arrested, put on trial, and executed. So they're afraid. That's the state we find them in. And they're in this room, and Jesus comes, and he stands. He says, Jesus came and stood among them. He's physically, it's not just appearance, he's physically there. He come and he stands among them. And he says, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples were glad when they recognized, this is Jesus. He's here. He's here. What Mary said is true. The disciples are glad when they see him. And then Jesus says to them again, peace be with you. Notice how the peace be with you is surrounding his hands, his side. This is how. Here, this peace be with you. Let me show you how. Let me show you how. Look at my hands. Look at my side. You know what's happened. They've seen what happened. Well, John at least saw what happened. Some of them may have been scattered and not even been where they could see the crucifixion, but they've heard, they know he's been crucified. They know he's been executed. But there it is. Here, let me show you. Look at my hands. Look at my side. You ought to imagine this. You ought to imagine them seeing the actual wounds of Jesus for them. It's amazing if you think about it, because he's resurrected Jesus. When resurrection is resurrection. It's amazing. It's one of those big words that we don't really use in our society around town. We only use it to talk about Jesus because it never happens except for Jesus and his followers one day when he raises us from the dead. I've had to explain this word to people who are learning English from another language. Background. Resurrection, what that means. And there's another big R word, resuscitation. Both of them means unconscious. But no, resuscitation, like maybe your heart stops for just a moment. But resurrection is when someone is dead. And they're alive. And that has happened to Jesus. So if his heart was cold and still, and his heart is now beating and thriving, if his brain function shut all the way down and down for, this is the third day, and it's going again, if he's restored, why did God leave? With the power of the creativity, of the creative power of the author of life, why did he leave the wounds in the hands and in the side? Except as a gift for them to see, this is how I did it. See, this peace be with you shows what Jesus was saying when he said, on the cross, his last words recorded to us by the Apostle John, which is, it's finished. It's finished. He's accomplished the salvation that can save you and me, and now he can say, peace be with you. Those two go together. It is finished. And he breathed his last. And now he says, peace be with you. Before, on the Last Supper, that supper where he washed his feet, the other gospel writers tell us where Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body given for you. And that's how we celebrated together on Sunday, on Friday night, as we remember Jesus' body given for you. But here's Jesus with his disciples saying, this is my body given for you. Look at the wounds. Look at my hands. Look at my side and think about that word for you, my body given for you. Peace, peace be upon you. This is how you can have that peace. Closely related to that is peace be with you. Let me show you what kind. Let me show you what kind. See, peace is, when we hear the word peace, many people have just out of context, and I say, what is peace? Many people would describe what comes to their mind there is, it's a feeling of calm, of serenity. It would be the opposite of a storm of anxiety. Anxiety, I don't know what's going to happen, I don't know what's going to go on, I don't know what's going on, there's problems around me, I don't know, versus peace. That might be what comes to some people's minds. If I say to somebody else, especially if that person has encountered war, go to certain parts of the world and you say, what do you think of when you think of peace? What's going to first come to their mind is most likely, oh, the end of war. War being over. Reconciliation. Absence of conflict. In fact, the opposite of conflict. But when Jesus says, peace be with you, which one is he talking about? Is it a feeling? A feeling of peace and calm serenity, the opposite of anxiety? Or is Jesus speaking about peace, the opposite of war? Well, just consider the wounds. Consider his hands. Consider his side. And hear from the prophet Isaiah, a passage written 800 years prior. He was pierced for our transgressions. Or, by his wounds we are healed. Or, upon him was the chastisement, the punishment that brought us peace. Many modern thinkers would bristle at this. They'd scoff and scorn at the idea that somehow we actually have the end of, we get a reconciliation out of someone's punishment? Like, isn't this exalting sin that we have and making it a problem that's too big, something that leads to death? Isn't the real problem just guilt feelings rather than guilt? So we should direct people away from guilt feelings and not the guilt is really an illusion. Just sin is just part of being a human. We just don't live perfectly, and that's just not as much a problem as just a reality. That's what some people would respond with. Some people would have a big problem with the idea that God would allow someone else to take the punishment of someone else. This person have that person's punishment. And if Jesus is true and good and pure in righteousness, it's just not fair. It's even crazy or foolish to think that he should have wounds for you or for me. I want to remind you, the scripture itself says that the cross is foolishness to the Greek. That it is a stumbling block to the Jew. But it's the essence of Christianity. If you're going to believe in the Bible, if Christianity is true, you can write this down. If you're going to believe in the Bible, believe in the Bible. Find out what's true from it. The Bible is clear as day that our biggest problem is iniquity, transgression, sin. It's a real problem that causes real separation between us and God. It's not just guilt feelings, it's actual guilt, or we could say actual shame. And there's an actual curse upon our life because of what we've done and what we haven't done. And there's actual uncleanness that makes us unfit for heaven. It's not just illusions. This is real. And we need a real Savior to really take care of that. And guess what? Jesus has real wounds. You can really see his side and his hands. And he saves through that. He is the righteous given for the unrighteous. He's the one, if you trust in him, you will not be put to shame. He bore the curse on the tree for us, and he has done so to make us clean. Peace be with you. Let me show you what kind. Now don't think, oh, I always thought about peace of Christ, the peace that passes understanding as something that helps with anxiety. Well, it's both. See, I it was kind of a trick question. What kind is it? The opposite of anxiety or the opposite of war? The answer is it's both. You can have anxiety and worry about how you relate to God and about how are you in life. You can have that abated, taken care of because of the anchor of the reality of an actual peace that means that you are reconciled with God. The biggest question of life has been taken care of by Jesus for you. And so therefore, you don't have to be in a big storm of anxiety because no matter what else happens, He loved me and gave Himself for me. So it's both. It has feelings, but feelings that are based on of reality. Peace be with you. Let me show you what kind, all kinds, peace with you in every way. Or as it says at the end of the book of 2 Thessalonians, the way that closes, and I'm turning to it because I'm thinking about it right now. It's such a beautiful verse. It says this, "Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all." What kind? All times in every way. Now, peace be with you. A commission of peace. That second time where He's shown them His hands and His side and they're glad because they see the Lord. And Jesus says to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." He sends them. And this echoes what Jesus says when He says, "As the Father has loved me, even so I have loved you." The loving, the sending. 3 weeks before this one, we looked at the gospel, the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, riding a donkey, the king coming in peace. And now He sends them. He sends them in peace. They are emissaries of peace. He sends them with a message of peace. It's interesting that in that passage in Ephesians where it talks about the armor of God, what are the shoes? Our shoes take us places in the picture of the armor of God. And having as shoes the readiness of the gospel of peace. He's given us a ministry of reconciliation. This is what it says in 2 Corinthians. All this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to Himself, reconciled His peace, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them. That's what we're talking about. And entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. We're ambassadors for Christ. God making His appeal through us. He gives us a gospel of peace. He sends them as the Father has sent Him. But when you hear that, if I were just to say, this is basically Jesus saying to them, go in peace, some would hear in that, oh, it's going to be a peaceful going. It's going to be a peaceful task. It's going to be smooth sailing as they go into the world. But you've got to hear this whole section in its context. Remember, Jesus was pouring His heart out to them from the end of washing His feet at that Last Supper till the day, to the moment of His prayer and then His arrest. Jesus was telling them all kinds of things that He needed them to know. And among them, He said to them, "Peace be with you." Or he says to them, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." But He's saying those words as Jesus is on the way to the cross. And within just a matter of hours, really, they see Him being flogged, beaten, hit, and mocked. Jesus says this to them in those same words, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And a bit later, they will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And history tells us that 10 of the 11 were killed because of their faith and their testifying of Jesus Christ and His resurrection. Not smooth sailing. And yet woven together in what Jesus is saying, He's telling them these things before it comes to pass, but woven right through it, just in between those words I just read to you, He keeps speaking of the Holy Spirit, speaking of the Spirit of God. And that's what we see here in this text as well. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. And when He had said this, He breathed. In our text, it says, He breathed on them. That's in the English, kind of added in there, the to them. But it could just be, He breathed. He breathed a big breath and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. That word Spirit, both in the Greek and the Hebrew, connects with breath or wind. Here you have the Lord Himself breathing. It makes us think back to Genesis and God breathing the breath of life into man. And here He is. He's just told them, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And He takes the breath and He speaks of the Spirit. And He says, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. And I want to remind you that as He was telling them about the trouble that would be coming, in between that, He kept on talking about the Holy Spirit, the Comforter who was coming. And if He goes to the Father, He's going to send another, a Helper. There's a beautiful truth that they're not going about this. They're not being sent out alone. He's open and honest about the challenges ahead for them. But He's open and honest that they won't be alone. And if you look at the book of Acts, if you look at how it plays out, they receive the Holy Spirit in power on the day of Pentecost. And the title, you know, the title of the book of Acts is just the Acts of the Apostles. It could very well be called the Acts of the Spirit of Christ. As you see the continuation of what Christ is doing through His people, it's not going to be. It's a commission of peace for sure, but it's also a context of challenge, and it's not going to be easy, but they're not going to be alone. Next, I want you to see, peace be with you. The challenges that are outside them may not all just be outside them, they can also be inside. In fact, Jesus' last words that He said to them before He gives that big long prayer before the arrest is this: I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Now, I said the disciples were all together here. Jesus appears with them. The first words He shares with His disciples assembled together. After He's back from the dead, back risen among them, peace be with you. But it really wasn't all the disciples, as we find out next. Thomas wasn't there. So we assume there were 10 there, but we know at least Thomas wasn't in the room. And Thomas doesn't experience a challenge outside him at this moment, people trying to kick Him out of the synagogue, people trying to seek to kill Him, thinking they're doing an honor to God. No, Thomas's challenge he experiences is from within. Let's read it. Verse 24. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. Imagine how he felt. So the other disciples told Him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. What's going on? This is Thomas. Thomas, he's been with him for 3 years. He's been following him. You know what Thomas has seen. Thomas saw different miracles, feeding of a crowd of thousands and thousands with just a little bit. God miraculously providing. Jesus walking on the water. Jesus calming the storm. All of these miracles. Thomas saw Jesus call Lazarus out of the grave. But yet he says, I will not believe. He has the eyewitness account of 10 disciples telling him what they have seen the Lord and Mary. And yet he says, unless he puts his hand in the side, he will never believe. The Bible doesn't tell us all that's going on with Thomas. We just recognize it may not just be intellectual, I can't believe in a resurrection, but emotional. Imagine the emotional roller coaster that he's been through. Actually, it was Thomas who said when they went to go for the raising of Lazarus, when they went back because Lazarus was dead, as Jesus had just told them, he's not just asleep, he's dead. Thomas speaks out and says, let's go with him that we may die with him. Because they're going towards Jerusalem. That's danger zone. And he knew the challenges. It was Thomas in the midst of these last words that Jesus is sharing with them between the Last Supper and their rest that at one point Thomas says, we don't know where you're going. Because Jesus has been saying, I'm going away. You're not going to have me with me. In a little while, you're not going to see me. And we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? That was Thomas who said that. And it was Jesus' answer to Thomas. We often think of it. We use it with non-believers, people who are exploring, or maybe they're not yet a Christian. We say, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But Jesus was answering Thomas and the disciples there. Disciples who had believed in him and followed him. I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father. That's what I'm talking about, to the Father. No one comes to the Father except by me. And here Thomas has said, oh, we'll go with him and die with him, but then they've been scattered. And Jesus, who always evaded capture before, has now been captured, and Jesus has been led, and Jesus has been mocked, and Jesus has been executed. And then he appears, and Thomas isn't there. We don't know what Thomas was doing. But once again, imagine what he felt. God, why? Why? If Jesus is alive from the dead, why wasn't I there? Why didn't you let me see him? Maybe he just got to a place of an emotional numbness. He just doesn't know how to respond, and he says, I can't believe it. I don't know what's going on in Thomas's mind. This would all be speculation. But recognize what the text says, even before we get far into the next verse. Verse 26, 8 days later. So with all that I've just said, I want you to imagine Monday, stewing on those thoughts, and Tuesday, and Wednesday. If the Lord is risen from the dead, why have I not seen him? Thursday, Friday, Mary, well, we love Mary. 10 disciples, why not me? Friday, Saturday, with the inclusive way of speaking, it's Sunday again. A whole week has passed. The disciples are together again. The doors are locked again. And Jesus comes. I want you to see in this a reminder that you're actually not necessarily supposed to understand everything. It's okay if you don't understand some of what God is doing. Every believer, you're going to have moments where you don't understand why God is this way. And there will be moments where you may struggle internally, not externally with things around you. You may struggle internally. God, I don't understand. Christianity never advocates for gullibility. The Bible does not tell you, you should just believe because belief. Realize, he had 10 eyewitness accounts. There was every reason for Thomas to believe. And I would say to you today, there is every reason for you to believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. You can look at the historical reasons. You can look at the testimony of eyewitnesses, people whose lives changed from being scattered and hiding to proclaiming, even to the point of martyrdom. We've seen him alive. Over 500, the scripture tells us. Look at the brother of Jesus, James, and how his life turned around from being skeptic to being basically a leader in Jerusalem. There's all kinds of reasons for you to believe. But trust can sometimes be hard. And when you don't understand things, things can be hard. A reminder, you're not called to understand everything all the time. The struggles can happen within you. So what is Jesus going to say to Thomas? It's okay. You can look at your text. What are Jesus' first words to Thomas? Peace. Peace be with you. I asked some guys this week as we were looking at this passage. I said, did Thomas put his hands in the Lord's wounds? Let me read to you the text. They said, yes. I said, well, let's look again. I don't know. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again. Thomas was with them. The doors were locked. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. And recognize in that one sentence, Jesus shows Thomas not only, here I am, but also I know what you've been going through. I know what's been going on in your mind. I know what you've said. Here are my wounds. And what we see from Thomas is Thomas answered him and said, my Lord and my God. I don't know. Maybe he did. Or maybe it just wasn't necessary anymore. Jesus is in front of him. He said those things. He sees him. He has shown himself to Thomas too. And Thomas responds with worship. My Lord and my God. Because that's who Jesus is. Thomas experiences peace in Christ. But more than that, he sees Jesus. And he recognizes Jesus to be not only alive, but alive and Lord, which means master. Elsewhere, it can mean sir, but here it clearly doesn't. My Lord and my God, not just my great teacher, my God. This is worship. Now, this is for you too. I know John makes the point it's for you too. We just keep reading. He says, Jesus said, "How have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And let me just remind you that you have the eyewitness accounts of Jesus. You have even secular historians who would say Jesus, you can see the stir that happened because of how Jesus lived, which testifies to the greatness of the miracles and such like that. But if you believe, blessed are you. And now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, including this story, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. So the message for you this Easter morning, this Resurrection Day, is this. Believe. Believe and have life in His name. Consider His hands. Consider his side and consider these things as his body broken for you. And hear not from Pastor Todd, not even, I mean, it is from me, it is from the Apostle John, but also hear from the voice of one who has been in the grave and cold and dead, but stands triumphant and is seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven, who has gone to prepare a place for you and says, lo, he's with you always, saying to you, peace. Peace be with you. Let's pray to the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, let us all join with Thomas. We say to you, my Lord, my God, may you receive the worship that you deserve. Thank you, God, for your Son giving himself for us, coming to serve, and now may he receive all honor and praise. And Lord, we pray that we would go through life faithfully for him with peace. Thank you for a peace that passes understanding and for a peace that's substantial, that you're not against us, that you're not angry with us, that our sin has been taken care of, transgressions are removed because of Christ. Lord, we worship you and honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I encourage you to respond to his word with a response of faith. Believe. Believe in worship. Believe in prayer. If you would like to speak to someone about how you can begin a relationship with Jesus, how faith for you could begin today, we'd love to talk to you about that. However, we can help you. We want to help you in these moments. Jared and I will be in the front if anybody wants to speak or pray about something. But let's stand and worship.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, of God and helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine. here in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stay.
No power.
No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
You may be seated for just a moment. Christ is risen. He is risen. It is a wonderful reality that we get to celebrate. Thank you all for being here today. Just want to provide a quick update about Carol. She's at the hospital right now. We would just encourage you to await any updates before heading to the hospital. If anybody is interested in visiting her, just await any updates. We'll share those as we can to our church family here. Well, this is an exciting day in the life of our church for so many reasons. Obviously, we get to celebrate the risen Christ. And if you are new here at Ashland or a guest today, I want to share with you that we are one church family in two cities. So while we have been meeting here this morning in Danville, we also have the other part of our church family that's meeting in Lexington. And this morning, Lexington had the opportunity to observe a baptism. And so this brother, Alex Dickerson, was baptized this morning in Lexington, and he is coming forward to request affirmation as a member. So Alex believes that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. He has now been biblically baptized as of this morning. He believes that the Bible is God's inerrant and inspired word. So if you are a member of Ashland and would affirm his membership, please do so by raising your hand. All opposed by like sign. We praise the Lord. Well, as I mentioned, we are one church family in two cities. And in just a few weeks, we have the opportunity to gather with our brothers and sisters from Lexington right here in Danville for our combined worship service. That will be on April 26th at Boyle Middle School. So please mark your calendars. We are thrilled at the opportunity of coming together and celebrating the risen Christ as an entire church family. Well, as you leave today, I just want to make you aware of a few different things. If some of you have already gotten your photos outside at the photo station, if you have not, I would just encourage you to go take a photo with family or friends and just enjoy this time of being together and have that memory. Also, if you are a guest with us today, we are so thankful that you have come. If you have that Connect card and didn't drop it in the offering plate earlier, feel free to meet us right outside of this room at the welcome table, and we would love to give you a free gift. And as a special gift for coming on Easter, we have this book that we're also giving you as well. So if you are a guest, please stop by and introduce yourself. We look forward to sharing these gifts with you. Yesterday, we had Resurrection Rally, and we told the kids that were here that we were also going to be giving out a special gift for all the kids. So if you were here yesterday as a kid, wonderful, you know this, but if you were not, there are these wristbands that we are giving that have some visual displays to remind us of the power of the gospel and what Jesus did. So we would encourage all kids to grab them on the way out. If your child is in the child's area, back in children's worship, they have already been given those just as a heads up. And then finally, we have a table right out here. If you go out these back doors to the left with a number of gospel t-shirts on them. If you are a member or you are a guest, you are welcome to go over there and see if there's a size that works for you, and feel free to take it. We would love to give those away. We don't have enough for everybody, but if you have, if you want to go over there and check out and see if you have your size, feel free to take that as well. Well, we are thrilled that we have a risen Savior, and He is the one that empowers us to live in faith and in love with one another. And so this year, we have been reciting our banner verse at the end of each of our services. And so we're going to do that yet again. So if you could, please stand with us, and we are going to dismiss by saying this together. By the mercies of God, let us love one another with brotherly affection and outdo one another in showing honor. You're dismissed.